A pilot is flying at night during a storm. The time that he wants to rely on his sight more than ever, yet he can't do it, or he and the passengers will die. You are seated in back, and you think that the pilot is up front looking out the windows, flying the jet. But at night, in a storm, he can see as well as you. He could just as easily, if it were somehow possible, give you the instruments and the controls at your seat. And you could fly the plane as well as he is flying the plane. Yet you feel relatively safe. You get nervous when the aircraft drops or it suddenly rises or it gets bounced around, but you trust the pilot, and he is trusting his instruments. He cannot see, you cannot see. But you made the decision to fly in that airliner. Perhaps you did not realize before that the pilots fly by faith, not by sight, at least at night. When it comes to money, we want figures, not faith. Yet, is it any different? If God wants us to do something, but we do not see the means, shall we not do it? Does God have the means of getting us to the destination? Let's read that text that Lake read for us. It's actually the beginning of what I want us to look at briefly here. Again, it's 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 16, and I'll go right on into chapter 5. Here's what, again, the Holy Spirit says. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We can see the unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if the earthly house of our tabernacle, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God. We can't see that, but we know it by faith. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. Indeed, if indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. We know we're going to get rid of these bodies, Paul says. We know we're going to get new ones, or that the old ones will rather be transformed into new ones. We can't see that at the present time. We don't know what the new ones will look like, but we know that it shall be. Please understand that faith is not the same as ignorance. Faith is still knowing something. Faith is still having confidence, although I can't see it with my eyes. But there's enough evidence that I know that such is the case. Verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So, we are always confident, Paul argues, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. The things of this world, including our bodies, fade, which is why we should not be looking at them. Rather, we look at the things that cannot be seen, as Paul said in verse 18 there of chapter 4. How do we know they are there if we cannot see them? Because God told us that they're there. And we believe Him with all our hearts. We have confidence in Him that when He speaks, it is the truth. Christians are supposed to be people who are believers, who know that something is the case, so that when they actually see it, they're not surprised. We can't see God. We have never seen Jesus. But I know He's there. I know He's just as real as I am, as you are. So that when I finally do see Him, I'm not going to be like, oh, wow, You really do exist. No. I know it. I have total 100% confidence in His existence and in everything He addresses. He tells me to walk by faith, not by sight. Therefore, I don't have to see it to know it or believe it. He is my guide, and I have all confidence, all trust in Him, that whatever He said is the truth. Obviously, not everyone has reached that point in time. I hope eventually everyone does. If you're not there yet, I hope someday that you get there soon, because it's a good place to be, and it feels good. Therefore, we know, as Paul wrote in the first 6 verses of that 5th chapter, that when these bodies are gone, that we will have a home. Since we cannot see these things yet, we know them. And Paul says we have the confidence that these things are so. Now, what do you call that phenomenon? What do you call that way of thinking? It is faith. Notice that I called faith a way of thinking. I know a lot of times we think that, okay, here is where I think, and beyond that, I have faith. Please don't look at faith that way. Thinking and faith are related very much. Therefore, in verse 7, Paul said, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Walking by faith, not by sight, is difficult if you do not trust your guide. It is unnatural. Yet, it is like a pilot flying by his instruments. But if he tries to fly by sight, especially during a storm, he crashes. If you trust your guide, walking by faith, not by sight, is easy. And it's comfortable. Who is your guide for life? Who is the church's guide? Do you believe that the Lord shall supply your need? Do you believe that the Lord shall supply the church's need? Abraham walked by faith, not by sight. Genesis chapter 15 shows what made Abraham the great man of faith that he became, and why it is that we call him the father of the faithful. What a magnificent chapter. There he is, evidently in his tent or in his home, and God meets with him. And God brings him outside, tells him to look up at the stars of heaven and to do something. And Abraham understands what's going on, so watch how he responds. Genesis 15, 5 and 6. Then God brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord. Abraham could not see the means for being the father of a multitude as numerous as the stars of the heavens or the sand on the sea. But he walked by faith, not by sight. If God said that it's going to happen, then Abraham thought to himself, it's going to happen. And he believed God. That's just all there is to it. Did God say it's going to be? Yes. Therefore it shall be. He believed it just that naturally. In Genesis 22, God commanded Abraham to offer up his son Isaac as an offering, as a burnt offering. Abraham proceeded to the place, but Isaac does not know fully what is going on. So watch what happens in Genesis 22, starting verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamp for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. Son, God wants us to go do something. This is for him. But he told us to do it. He'll provide the means." So the two of them went together. Now, Abraham, interestingly, Isaac doesn't realize this, but Abraham thought that he was looking at the sacrifice, his son. But it ended up coming from a source that at the time he did not see. As you probably know, God stopped the offering of Isaac, and Abraham saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And he offered that up to God. Therefore, even when Abraham thought that he was walking by sight, he was actually walking by faith. Do we look at our things and conclude that we have or do not have what we need to fulfill the Lord's will to evangelize the world? He said, "This is what I want you to do." This is his work. He's chosen to involve us in it. Are we like Abraham and say, "Where's the means to do it?" Or are we like Isaac and say, "I don't see where it is. I don't think it can be done." Can he supply the need from sources that we don't currently see? Over in the New Testament, Jesus commands us to walk by faith, not by sight. Matthew chapter 6 is part of his famous Sermon on the Mount. Right in the middle of it, right in the middle of his famous Sermon on the Mount, he delivers something that is, I believe, profound in this area of faith versus sight. Do we believe what it teaches? Starting at verse 25, Matthew wrote down these words of Jesus. "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? That is, to God it is. Let it be such to us. Look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But, now here's what he really wants us to concentrate on. But, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Excuse me. What does Jesus promise? His Heavenly Father shall take care of us. Even if we cannot see the means. Is our Father strong enough, rich enough, probably is the way I should say it, to supply our needs? Individually and congregationally. Jesus, I believe, makes his point in verse 33. Starting in verse 25, as he was saying all those things, he really wanted to get to the point of verse 33. What does he want from us? He says, you look after God's things, and God will look after your things. See, we're teammates with God. He says, here's my part. I'll take care of your material things. Your part is, you take care of my spiritual things on the earth. But of course, our temptation is to say, well, I think I can do a better job worrying about the material things over here, God. You let me do that, and you take care of the spiritual things. Mark 8 repeats this message. The disciples were slow to learn this lesson. Let us not be slow to learn it. Does the Lord want us to worry about how we shall fund good works, or does He command us to engage in them? Mark 8, starting at verse 13. And He left them, and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then He charged them, saying, so now their minds are on bread. They're thinking, food. I like the way the food goes in my mouth. I like the way it feels between my teeth. I like the way my tongue tastes the different flavors. And I like the way it goes into my belly. That's what they're thinking. And then Jesus said, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. So what are they thinking? The Pharisees and Herod are in the bread business. Don't go to their places of business to buy bread. That's what they think He's warning. Verse 16. And He reasoned among them, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have no bread? In other words, He thinks because we didn't bring any bread. We need to go buy bread so we can eat. But don't go to the businesses, the bakeries run by the Pharisees and Herod. Is that why he said that? They can't understand that he is constantly, in everything that he says, trying to get them to focus on the Spirit, and he'll take care of the bodily needs. Verse 17. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand?" Well, understand what? There's something that he wants them to understand. What is it? We'll find out in a moment. Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? 5 loaves of bread for 5,000 men. How many baskets of fragments should they have taken up? Zero. That's not the way it worked out, is it? They said to him, 12. Somehow, we ended up with more after doing this good work than we did at the beginning. They don't get it yet. Verse 20. Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000. This time, a little bit more for a little less of a good work as far as quantity. How many large baskets? How many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? Well, again, the answer should have been none, Lord. Man, we didn't. I mean, everyone only had a crumb to eat. And they said 7. They still don't get it. And he notices that in verse 21. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand? I'm not talking about bread that the Pharisees and Herod make with their hands and sell on their businesses. I'm not talking about food for the body. I'm talking about their spiritual doctrine. Don't worry about the money and the food and all those things for the body. Don't you see? I'm going to take care of that for you. I want you to look after the things of God, and I'll look after your things." That's how a team works, you know. If I'm only looking after my things and you're only looking after your things, then we're not a team. We become a team, though, when I look after your things and you look after my things. And God says we're on the same team together. I've told you I want you to be engaged in good works. I want you to preach the gospel to the world. I want you to preach my pure doctrine to the world, he says. And what I will do, he says, is I'll take care of your things. I'll make sure you have the means to get those things done. If you have the faith. But if you don't, then he won't do it. In Luke 9, he sent his disciples on a mission. He said, don't take any supplies. Don't take anything with you. He was wanting them to learn something. Have we learned what they eventually did learn? Listen to Luke 9, 2 and 3. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have 2 tunics apiece. Just do my work, he commanded them, and I'll see to it that your needs are supplied. Now, how do I know that they learned the lesson? Because later in Luke chapter 22, he reminded them of this very experience that I just read to you from Luke 9, and knowing that they had learned to walk by faith, not by sight, he now tells them to go get your supplies. When they finally realize, okay, yes, we went out. We couldn't see how it was going to be done, but it was done. Now that they have that operational type of thinking in their hearts, Now they can go get the supplies they need and go out knowing that God is still the one who has supplied them with those things. Look at Luke 22, 35 and 36. And he said to them, "When I sent you without money, bag, knapsack, and sandals, did you lack anything?" So they said, "Nothing. We went out empty-handed, but somehow, Lord, we were able to get the job done." And then he said to them, "But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it. And likewise, a knapsack. And he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Do his work. And whether someone else supplies your need, or you supply it yourself, go forth and do what the Lord wants you to do, and he'll see to it that the means are fulfilled." 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 through 11, promises that we can walk by faith, not by sight. There was a great need in the church and in the world. The Lord turned to his church to fulfill that need. Paul turned to the church to fulfill that need. And the early brethren of ours turned to the church to fulfill that need. Will we turn to the church, helping her to fulfill that need? Listen to God speak to each of us through this passage. 2 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 8. I just love the first few words. "And God is able." Paul should have been able to put a period right there, or it should have been able to end the thought right there, and then that's it. He said enough, but he said more. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever." See, when we walk by faith, not by sight, it's not our reputation that's at stake. It's his reputation. He has said, "Go out, I'll help you." And if we go out and don't get the help, then his reputation is the one that's gone bad, not ours. But of course, that's not going to happen, Paul is. That's why he's quoting from the Old Testament here. God has demonstrated in the past, he's not going to let his reputation, his name, go bad. Verse 10. "Since that's all true, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Again, the Holy Spirit says, "Do my work, and I'll see to it that you have means." Hebrews 11 is the last place I'd like to go to this morning. Hebrews 11 shows saints walking by faith, not by sight. In verses 1 through 3, Paul, or the Hebrew writer anyways, explains what faith is. Then he shows how we already use it. But then I think what he's showing us here is, let us continue to apply it in all phases of life. Listen to the first three verses of Hebrews 11. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence." Did you catch that? Now if you have a different translation than the New King James Version, you probably have something there that's giving the same idea. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. You can't see it, but you know it's there anyways, because there is one who knows and one who has credibility with us, and we trust him. Verse 2. "For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." By faith we understand. Notice he's not telling us to understand. Here's where he already shows. Here's how you're already living by faith. "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Those of us who are here this morning who are Christians, we accept the fact, notice I didn't say theory or guess, we accept the fact, we accept the evidence that God created all things, although we didn't see Him do it. I may look out into the world and say, hey, this is a creation, but creation doesn't tell me how He did it. It doesn't tell me that He spoke it into existence and that He did it in 6 days. I have to open up Scripture and it reveals to me how He did it. At least I believe that. I believe that the entire universe was created in 6 literal 24-hour days. I think I can make that case based on Scripture. And I have no hesitation in saying that. Okay, so I know that by faith, though. But then in verse 6, He exhorts us to continue to walk by faith, not just in accepting the facts of unseen history, which is what the creation is, but that same kind of faith should lead me to accept the facts of the unseen future. Here it is, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and, now get this part, that He is a rewarder. There is a future. That He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do we have faith that God can keep all His promises that we have read of Him today, supplying our needs? Verse 8 reminds us of one whose life we have already viewed. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. He knew the place was there, but he hadn't seen it, and he hadn't seen the way how to get there before. God said, go. And he went, and he got there. And you know the rest of the story. Do we always have to know, that is to see, how God shall help us, or can we, like Abraham, walk by faith? God is in heaven with all the riches of heaven and earth at His fingertips. Do we believe that He can make any of that available to us? Has He not told us to preach the gospel to the world? How does He expect us to accomplish it? Dear God, how do You want me to do this? What does He think when we say it can't be done? God is in heaven. Is He in my life, and is He in the life of this congregation? The issue is faith. He does not give to us beyond our faith. That's not how He builds faith. He builds faith when we hear what He has said in Scripture. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Remember the teaching of Hebrews 11:6 that I just gave to you. You cannot become a Christian without faith that is driven to please God and simultaneously believes that God will reward that faith. You may be a Christian, but if you don't walk by faith and you walk by sight, you'll be lost. To me, one of the most horrifying things to read in Scripture is where the Bible tells us that in the lake of fire are murderers and unbelievers. Unbelievers in the same place as murderers. Murderers kill people. Unbelievers seek to kill God. I don't believe what you have to say. That kills God. Do you believe in Him with all your heart? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord? Why not put that into action now? Why not let it turn you away from sin and turn you to follow His instructions and whatever He tells you to do? Are you ready at that point? Are you saying, okay, I'm there. What do I need to do next? You need to be immersed in water. We have a baptistry that's right behind us, all prepared for you. If you're ready to become a Christian, you can come forward right now as we stand and sing, and we'll help you.